two sentences. We'll try to get interactive here. But 1 Timothy 5, and we're picking up, talking in this chapter, responsible relationships in the family of God. Responsible relationships in the family of God. Let's look again, just a brief review at verse number 1 and 2. Rebuke not an elder. And by the way, this is in this verse from the context. This is not the position of elder, but this is an older man in the church. So you'll see why we see that. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. So in verses 1 and 2, we have a relationship with every single person in the church. Every adult has a relationship with every other adult in the church. There's older men and younger men. There's older women and younger women. And there's a responsibility to treat them rightly. And we looked at that in depth last time we were here. But so now we get into some specific types of people. And let's start at verse 3. And we'll read all the way down to verse 16. Honor widows that are widows indeed. What does he mean by a widow indeed? Well, we see that with what he contrasts it with in verse 4. But if any widow have children or nephews. Now let me say, we use that word nephew in a very strict sense of the definition. But if you look that word up in the dictionary, it means a male relative two steps away from you. So your nephew, you're the uncle or aunt of the nephew, that's a male relative two steps away from you. The context here also would include grandsons. Okay? So if any widow have children or nephews, including grandsons, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. So what is a widow indeed? A widow indeed is somebody that doesn't have, she's a widow, and she doesn't have a son to take care of her or a grandson or nephew to take care of her. That's a widow indeed. Now she that is a widow indeed, verse 5, and desolate, trusteth in God, and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge, that they may be blameless. But if any, now back to that children or grandchildren, the nephew or the son, but if any, provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. What's an infidel? What's that word infidel mean? Unbeliever. Fidel means faith. United States Marine Corps, semper fidelis, always faithful. Infidel, unfaith. He's worse, if any, provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Let not a widow be taken into the number, be enrolled, under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows, younger than what? Younger than 80 years, younger than 60. But the younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. And not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. What's the solution? I will, therefore, that the younger women, younger than what? 60. Marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. All right, so we've read the text. Let's just pray for the Lord's help here this morning in applying it. Lord, we do come to you, and we just ask for your hand and for your help, Father God, that you would work in this place to apply your word to our understanding, Father, and give us a ready mind to take it up and apply it to our lives or to areas that we see in and around us and in this local church or any church that we would be a part of. Just bless in every way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So the first thing we want to see here is we're talking about responsible relationships in the house of God. So the church has a relationship and a responsibility, first of all, to widows. To widows. A widow, a woman whose husband has died. Now she's destitute. The church has a responsibility to relieve them. We see that if you hold your place here and turn to Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter, in fact, turn to Acts chapter 4. At the end of the chapter, look at verse 32. Acts 4:32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of those things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. So there's a commonality of goods here. This is, by the way, some liberals point to this and say, well, the early church practiced communism. This is not communism. This is community. And there's a big difference. This is voluntary. Communism is enforced with the sword, okay, or with the AK-47. So now with that backdrop in mind, Acts chapter 6. And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Let's ignore for a minute that some of them were neglected. What we learn from this is there's some kind of daily ministration, some kind of daily ministry that takes place to feed the widows. I like to call it a Meals on Wheels program. Okay? And because it wasn't being run right, we get the first deacons. That's what happens in Acts chapter 6. Because the Meals on Wheels program was just kind of slipshod and haphazard. Then the apostles said, wait a minute. Let's get some guys that you trust to run this thing, and we have the election of the first deacons. So now we come decades later, and Paul is writing to Pastor Timothy in Ephesus, and he's saying, notice verse 9, go back to 1 Timothy 5, and notice verse 9, let not a widow be taken into the number. Taken into the number. That's enrolled on a list of the widows that we're going to minister to. Here's a list of widows this church is going to minister to. We're going to have a bread line or Meals on Wheels or whatever it is. Here's a list. So there's actually an organized ministry to the widows. An organized ministry to the widows. But you notice, we read several different ways. He approached it from several different angles. You notice there are some specific requirements for the widows that the church is going to minister to in that way. We're not going to do that for any widow that has an able-bodied son. Because whose job is it to take care of her? Her son. Or an able-bodied nephew or grandson. Because whose job is it to take care of her? Him. It's his job to take care of them. So we're not going to do that program for widows like that. We're not going to do that program for widows under 60. Widows under 60 should do what? Get married again. And so forth. You may not like that, but that's what the Bible says here. Well, or if she's young enough, you know, so there's a ministry. We have a responsibility to widows. Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem in America today. Why does the church really not do this? What's that, Luella? Because the government took over. The government has picked up the responsibility of the church. I wonder if the government took over because the church wasn't doing it right. I wasn't alive when the government took it over. But the government took it over. And I wonder if the government took it over because the church was slacking in that area. But in any case, it never even crosses our minds to think that way, not just as a church, but even as individuals. How many of you in the last month sent a check to your parents? No hands. They're not widows. Oh, they're not widows, okay? Are they well off, you know, in some cases? Praise the Lord. Here's what I thought of as I read through this and studied over this. What a shame it would be. We'd think it was shameful. We really would. We'd think it was shameful if a man had, you know, He's got a car payment, and he's got a house payment, and he's got cable TV or satellite and a cell phone and his multiple cars and good clothes and a good job, and his mom is in the bread line at church. We think, shame on him. Shame on him. And yet, we don't think that because there's no bread line at church, and we don't think that same exact man, his mom is on the SNAP program from the government, and we don't think anything about it. Food stamps or whatever, and we don't think anything about it. Miss Gale, I see your hand.
Do you think it's possible because we're no longer raising our children with the idea that you need to be responsible for your parents when they're old?
Did everybody hear what she said? Because we're not raising our children to think that way. Look at verse, go back to verse, Four. Look at verse 4. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents. What does that word requite mean? Anybody know what that means? That's a good English word. It's not an obsolete word. It's still used today. What's that mean? Doesn't mean support exactly.
Have the idea of completion.
Partly. You ever heard of unrequited love?
Yeah.
You love somebody and they don't love you back. What'd you say, Ashley?
Return the
favor. That's the dictionary definition that I saw. I looked that word up in the dictionary. I knew it meant to repay. I looked it up in the dictionary anyway, and it said return the favor. Why do you need to requite your parents? I don't know about you, but my parents took care of all of my needs until I was pretty much until I was married. And put up with all of our junk, yeah. And especially all that junk the first few years until I learned to use the bathroom by myself. You know, I mean, they might as well have been responsible for the air I breathed. I have a responsibility to requite them. Even if they're not widows, it says requite their parents. Not just the widows, requite their parents. I have a responsibility to my mom and dad to fulfill, because you know what? They had a responsibility to fulfill for me beginning on or about December 1st, 1972, and they fulfilled it. Or from 9 months before that date even. And they fulfilled it. And they fulfilled it very well. And they fulfilled it. They went through some hardships to fulfill their responsibility toward me. They sacrificed to fulfill their responsibility toward me. My dad sometimes worked two jobs to fulfill his responsibility toward me. My mom sometimes had to work outside the home. Not much, but sometimes had to work outside the home to fulfill responsibility toward me. They went back to school. You know, in the 60s, you could drop out of high school and still get a decent job. In the 80s, that wasn't the case anymore. And high school dropouts couldn't get a decent job. They went back to school to go get a better job to fulfill their responsibility toward me. Now I have a responsibility to fulfill toward them. And I hope I have 18 years left to do it. I hope there's 18 years or more to do it, that they'll live that long. I keep seeing hands over here. Brother Mike.
I don't think society is set up that way anymore, because you have people in their middle ages and older buying fresh houses. The kids are doing the same. Back in those times, the family stayed together.
Okay.
As a unit, they all had land, and they built houses on that land.
So
everything stayed in the family.
Mom stayed with her children, lived with her children. Even that was true. That was true. Even up until World War II or so,
yeah.
That was true around in the United States, clean up until around World War II, that you just took her into your home or took your parents into your home or lived in your parents' home. And society's not set up that way anymore. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know.
Have we suffered for it? Right.
That they were in my parents.
So we're not as connected. Does that mean that we can get out of that responsibility, though? So I could bring my mother into my home, or I could use a service called U.S. Mail or PayPal and help her out. Still. So yeah, you're absolutely right. We're not set up that way. We don't do things that way anymore. But that doesn't mean we don't still have the responsibility.
Right.
I think it's a shame. I think it's a shame if, you know, me personally, it would take, and I'm not trying to be proud or express pride or anything. It would take a lot for me personally to take a welfare check or food stamps. And I'm not trying to shame anybody that has. Don't get me wrong. But as long as I can work, and if one job's not enough, I'll work two jobs. There's been times I had to work two jobs. There's been times we would have been eligible. My family and I would have been eligible for welfare food stamps, and I went and took a second job. Okay? So it would take a lot for me personally. I should have that same mentality if I found out my parents were on welfare food. I should have that same mentality toward them as I do toward my own household. It should bother me. It should bother me that I'm not doing, that I'm not living up to my responsibility. Mrs. Tiggis? They were raised that way, yeah. Miss Gail, saw your hand.
Well, you know, there's more to dealing with this issue than money.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Even just for those who live close enough to stop there and say, listen, what do you need done? Mowing grass.
Yeah.
Things like that. Because there comes a point
And I think that actually, I call, you know, in Acts 6, I call that the meals on wheels. And I think it was more than meals. I think it was, you know, what do you need done around the house? What do you, you know, or even just somebody to listen to and talk to. When I was a kid, we adopted people in the nursing home. My mom and us kids would go to the nursing home and just talk to people. You know, just pick somebody and become their friend and get to know them and just talk to them. Just
spending time.
I saw Mike's hand.
Well, going back to the society thing, there's two classes or age groups of people that are ignored and thrown away or discarded.
The youngest and the oldest.
And that's been going on since right before World War II. Hitler killed them, you know, on both sides. And then we don't put as much stress on that because, well, we're just all in a nursing home now. And that's what a lot of people do. It's just, and no judgment for anybody that does, but, you know, that's kind of what they do. They can't take care of them because of distance or whatever. And we're all so busy because technology makes everything easier for everybody. And so what do we do? Well, just go home in a house and let somebody else take care of them. And that's, yeah, I think that also has a lot to do with it, you know.
That didn't, the nursing home industry has exploded in this country, has just gone crazy in this country because just even 40 years ago, you just kept them at home. If they needed a nurse, you got a nurse, I understand. And if they needed round-the-clock care, then you had to. But I think there's so many that can do just as well in their children's home. Gary's hands up. Did you say 7? Okay. That's your guess. Okay.
And we're the ones that should be, you know, submissive to the Spirit of God in this regard. And you go back to 65 on the back, which in my opinion was the AD of Christianity throughout society, even in the unsaved Christian churches, you taught the fear of God, and God is watching, and you know, as we get closer to the end, and we're losing this Bible knowledge, but even on this subject, it won't be long, but I guess if you don't go along with the program, they're going to kill it, you know. So, you know, the apathy or the apostasy that's going to come. So it's a lot of things. It's a lot of lack of knowledge, and, you know, which really happens.
There are heathen tribes, in particular, like in the Arctic Circle, that people are generally healthy because of their diet and lifestyle. They don't eat processed foods and stuff. They don't have heart attacks. Okay, they don't have strokes. They don't have blood pressure problems, and so they get to be 90 years old living this. The lifestyle that you move around. What's it called? Nomadic, living this nomadic lifestyle. They get to be 90 some years old, but then their teeth fall out and they can't eat the food because their teeth fall out. And so their tribe just leaves them somewhere and they starve to death. I'm thinking, wait a minute, that's your mom, that's your dad. How did they treat you before you had any teeth? They fed you, they cut the food up and did whatever it took. They used the blender there in the igloo and got you some food when you didn't have any teeth. Now that's how you're going to treat them. But you know, it's a mindset. I really didn't expect this. This is probably the most discussion we've had on any topic we've discussed in this class in a long time. But I want to look at the second class of people. There's a second class of people mentioned in this text here. That is the son or nephew or grandson that doesn't care for them, or doesn't care for his own, even his own household, if it includes his grandma or not. Look at verse 8 again. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So there, the church has a responsibility toward widows, but the church also has a responsibility toward the work avoider or the lazy. Do you realize, turn to 1 Thessalonians to your right. Second Thessalonians chapter 3. Just a few pages to your right. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. To your left, I'm sorry. Get tongue-tied here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now, in 1 Thessalonians, Paul said, remember when I came to you, I worked. Even though I didn't have to work because I was preaching the gospel, nevertheless, I worked to show you an example that you need to work. Now, here's what he says in 2 Thessalonians. He has to write back to him and say this, verse 6. Now, we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourself, now he defines in part this disorderly. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us as we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man, watch this now, and if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. What is that called? Church discipline. Do you realize the man that could get a job and won't, if he's a member of a church, is subject to church discipline? Do you realize the man that's underemployed and won't try to better himself, he's subject to church discipline? Is that what it says? We have a responsibility not to shame. It was not to shame them, it's to help them. Anybody ever heard of a church doing it? I heard of a church doing it. I heard of a church in California exercise church discipline on a man for those reasons. And he took his family right down the road to another church that they had been in fellowship with. And that church took him in as a member, didn't respect the discipline of the other church, and took him in as a member and took his side and broke the fellowship of those two churches. That's neither here nor there, but that's what it says. That's being responsible. That's being responsible as a church. That's being responsible. Now now the government took over the welfare program that the churches used to run. The government took it over, and the government doesn't follow those rules. Right. And I don't know about you, I got a big problem with that. Brother Gary. Anybody have anything else? Maybe just a couple minutes. We're brother, Pastor Mast.
Everybody's mind. Sometimes we, this might not be taken well by some, but we have this idea that if I tithe my 10%, I'm done. I really think that people that are capable and have the means, I think our mindset should be, what can I do in my occupation or earn more money to help the church, to help missions? And not just, oh, I gave my 10% and I'm done. You see, what can I do to help further the kingdom of God? And, I think that, in my opinion, for people, and I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but if I have to work 40 hours a week, I'm also making as much money as I possibly can. Without breaking the scripture, I've been unethical. I've always told my boys, if you're working a 40-hour job, then go do the best you can, make as much money as you can. God uses that. Or if I have a part-time job, well, then I need to get two jobs. And the thought should be, what can I do to help further the kingdom of God and help my church?
Rather than for a new Escalade.
So, and we're all guilty of it, we do our bare minimum, think I've accomplished my responsibility. But our thoughts should be, what can I do to glorify God and all that we do? Even this requires more than 10%.
We said the government took it over, and I said I thought it might be because the church wasn't doing it. I think one of the reasons why the church wasn't doing it is because, well, the church can't do it if the people don't give to it. And I am not privy to giving records here, but if this church is like any other Bible-believing church, and I have seen giving records at other Bible-believing churches, if this church is similar to those, you would be amazed how much more this church could do if everybody even just gave the 10%. To be honest.
Well, if you could ask yourself a question without anybody answering, if we had a Meals on Wheels program that fed the wills of our church for those that need, how many folks would get to that program? Or how many people say, well, that's not my mom, I'm not, it's not my job. I'm just, it'd be hard. I know the giving records of our church, not who gives what. I just know what comes in. That'd be hard ministry for us to, at this point in our ministry, for us to have.
Yeah. Ms. Gale.
Isn't our food pantry, though,
it's partly, yeah. In part. It probably helps a lot.
There's, this is a good discussion because it helps us see where our loyalties are. But I'm not trying to brag, but when my grandparents were alive, my wife and I took the boys out there 3 times a week, usually. And, we mowed their grass and took them shopping. Now they had money, so they didn't often need money. But we just spent time with them and took them fishing, took them shopping. Just was there to help out with whatever they needed. And my dad got home one time. My dad said, he was mad at me. He said, quit going up to grandma's house so much. Go make your friends your own age. Leave them alone. And I told him, I said, they won't be here forever. And so those are the neighbors that my boys cherish.
Yeah.
I think, I just want to encourage people in our church to be able to look at the time. Pick a family in our church that needs my little help. Just to determine how to be there to help them. And whether that's mowing grass or picking up trash or just taking them shopping. That's a huge blessing. And young folks need to think that way. What can I do to help, people?
We get zoned in on our life is what happens when our focus narrows. We get zoned in on our life. We get our paycheck. We've already figured out what we're going to use every dollar for. We have our week's time, and we have already figured out what we're going to use every hour for. And it's always me, 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 me. Miss Lilla. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, foyer's full. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for our